Allison, I'm going to kick this off. Hold on.
Whoa, that threw me off. What's going on?
I know.
Welcome to the Best Hour of Their Day podcast with your hosts, Jason Fernandez.
And me, Jason Ackerman. With more than 20 years in the business,
as both coaches and affiliate owners,
our passion is to help create world-class affiliates
and coaches by building
better
boxes.
Welcome to
the Best Hour of Your Day.
You were waiting for that.
I was. Allison, I want you to speak directly into that mic that you have so that we all know that it works.
Marco.
So the other day on a call, on our call, we're like, hey, did you get a new microphone? And she's like, yeah. And I was just like, no, clearly you didn't get a new microphone.
Fancy. Well,
I get shit all the time. That's all right. Go ahead.
Hey, to be completely fair, it's working better than Fern's mic.
Ha ha. How the turntables have
turned. How the turntables.
Well, we got Allison Jakowski, owner of Odin CrossFit, L3 CrossFit trainer, L4 CrossFit affiliate through Best Hour, one of our business development coaches, and we're going to get the whole story. Let me also say wife, mom, all the other accolades, the important
art teacher, coffee snob, all the things.
Box of wine drinker.
That's right. That's right.
Only the best wines. Are you a coffee snob?
I would say I'm not a coffee snob. I love coffee. I will drink bad coffee, good coffee, bougie coffee. I'll drink it all.
Cody, but they do have a very bougie little coffee place, literally 50 feet from their gym.
I was just there earlier. Yep.
How totally. Often do you go to this bougie place?
It's literally in our parking lot and it's owned by one of our members. So we tend to go often. But it's also a nice place to have a conversation with people close to the gym, but not in the gym. So we go frequently. Yeah. We send them a lot of business too. So, yeah.
And I agree with you. Cody is a snob in a way where, you know, he really wants nice coffee. I think if you love coffee, all coffee's good.
Correct.
Yeah. I just enjoy a hot cup of black coffee. I would enjoy it any time of day. I do try to cut my caffeine off, but yeah, that's the way to go. So let's go back a bit. Tell us the moment you found CrossFit.
Ooh. The moment I found CrossFit, we were out in Southern California, Encinitas, Carlsbad, visiting my childhood best friend that live out there now. And we were on vacation and one of their sisters, and we were staying in their one bedroom apartment, you know, tiny little thing, sleeping on an air mattress. And she was like, you want to go to my gym and work out? And my husband, Jason, and I, we were like, sure, I guess. And we pulled in and this gym is still there today. She now owns it. She was the coach at the time, but now owns it. And we rolled up to this grungy CrossFit counterculture.
Oh, is it Zia?
Yeah, Zia.
Yeah. I think we knew that, right, Fern? We just never made this connection.
Well, I knew that you knew Zia, Alice. I didn't know that that was the first place you ever went. I didn't know that part. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So her sister was like the maid of honor in my wedding. Like we grew up together.
Got it.
Really close. And so Z was like, you want to go work out? She brings us to this gym. She was coaching and it's at her location she is right now. There was no class going on. She's like, I'm going to take you through this CrossFit workout. And we're like, okay, whatever. And it was like, I don't remember the time domain, but it was probably 12 minutes that felt like 30 minutes. And I'll never forget. It was ring pushups of all things, kettlebell swings, and then burpee broad jumps, and they had to be done out in the parking lot for like distance, right? Like I was like, Z, what are you doing here? But that was our first encounter with CrossFit. She took us to this workout, and at the end of it, my husband and I both, we were laying in the parking lot, just like on our back, contemplating our life of like what just happened. And it changed everything. everything.
Well, when you say, I think a lot of people know that feeling of like my life was changed, but other than, well, let me ask you this. Did you go back, were you in Maryland at the time?
So we were living in Maryland, but we were visiting out in California. Right.
So you go back home.
Yeah.
Were you like, oh, I should find one of these around me?
Yeah. So, Zia asked if we want to come back the next day. And we, of course, were like, yes. And then we woke up the next day and we were like, no.
You remember how sore you were? Like, I don't
know. Oh, I remember. We were also sleeping on an air mattress that deflated.
I know you said that. I was like, that is the worst. Yeah.
It was, mistakes were made for sure. But we went home. There was a little bit of a gap in the time. It was like a couple months or so before we actually kind of did our due diligence and ended up joining a CrossFit gym just as members. And it sucked me in really, really quickly. Yeah.
Were you teaching at the time?
What's that?
Were you teaching at the time? Were you in the art teacher phase?
Yeah. Okay. Jason and I, we were both teaching at the time.
That's right. He was a math teacher. That's right.
Yeah. Yep. So I was teaching and we found a CrossFit. We have two in our town. And so we kind of checked out both and just started going. And it became something that, like, when I was at work, all I was thinking about was the gym. And so I started coaching pretty quickly after that. It wasn't, I didn't actually seek out coaching. The owner of the gym was like, hey, have you ever thought about coaching? I didn't really think much of it. I just knew that, like, I was also picking it up quickly. I have an athletic background. So I feel like I just started to kind of pick some things up and then I went and got my L1. Yeah, pretty quickly.
Well, that and teaching lends itself obviously to coaching. What box did you join in Maryland?
It's called CrossFit SRT. It's actually not there anymore. And we left that gym and joined the gym that I now own when they kind of first opened up. We knew the owners and at that time. And I knew that as a coach, I needed to seek out kind of a different gym that would work a little better for me. And so I came on with the original owners shortly after they opened up.
How long did you continue teaching for?
Yeah. So when I was teaching, I've always had multiple things on my plate for as long as I can remember. So yes, I was teaching. I was also finishing up grad school.
For teaching though?
No, I went to grad school for fine arts, like strictly fine arts, specifically ceramics. That was my specialty, like ceramics and sculpture.
Like Ghost.
Sure.
Can you make a bust of Jason Ackerman?
Yes.
Sure. Sure I can.
I hope it's all like dismembered and no, like.
Like miniature sized, right? Like this big? Yeah.
It's like, that's like, what's that like? Was that in Zoolander? Where he's like, how is this for tiny people?
Yeah. What is this for ants?
Yeah.
So yeah, did you finish that degree?
Yeah. So I was going to grad school. I was also coaching and I was working for a ceramics company at the time as well. So I kind of had my hand in a lot of things. And so I knew that I wanted to leave teaching. My whole plan was I'm going to finish grad school. Thank you, Frederick County Public Schools, for paying for my graduate work. And
your teaching job was paying for it.
Yeah. And so then I ended up taking a 2-year leave of absence, like basically a sabbatical.
From teaching
to go work for this ceramics company that I was already working for part-time. But when I finished grad school, I started working for them full-time. Again, still coaching. Like I had these two very separate lives that I was kind of living at the same time. So worked for that ceramics company and my job with them was twofold. I was teaching teachers and then I was also working with small business owners who have like hands-on experience-based art studios. And so my role was helping them from the ground up. Like some of them were like literally startups. They're like, I want to start this business. And I helped them like find locations, lay out their floor plan, how to train their staff, how to create an in-person experience. It's an experience-based business. So I did that for a while while I was coaching. And then it came point where I was like, I'm teaching these people how to own their own businesses. I'm going to own my own business. And so I left the ceramics company to open my own. And so I owned my own art studio. And that was great. And I was like, I love being my own boss and being able to execute the way that I want to execute. That was something that I always felt. I struggled with teaching because I was stuck in a box. And I struggled working for people when they were not as driven to be as, what I like to say, particular as I like to be. And so I found that owning my own business allowed me to do that. And it allowed me to have a lot of control of the experience that I was trying to provide that I wasn't able to take control of previously.
I have learned that that is just called having standards. I used to not think that was the case. It was like, oh, there's just standards here. And it's not particular. It's just like, no, do it to the standard. Mm-hmm. Or don't, but then you don't have a spot here. So I'll give you tons of kudos in this podcast, but like that was, I remember when you came on, because people always think that we only deal with gyms that are a disaster, and you guys were far from a disaster when you guys showed up. I do have questions when a gym such as yours comes into the fold, right? Because I'm like, man, is this going to be like the athlete that comes in? There's like, I already know what I'm doing. So, you know, can you just give me my super special programming? Because I'm unique. And we've had those. But my point is like, you guys came in, you were running great revenue, right? Like you guys were running revenue that most gyms would die for at that point. And you guys were everything but that, both you and Jace. You were just like, tell me what to do and I'll do it. Tell me what to do and I'll do it. We just want to get better. And you guys are like implementers, dude. It's just like before you even finish a sentence, it's like already implemented. And it's not shocking that you guys have been able to do what you've been able to do, you know, crossing over into that seven figure world, which is like what I think everybody should be doing, right? And I've been to your gym. I coached a level one there. And again, I told you this when I was there, and I was like, it's always cool for me to go to a gym who's doing well, and then you see all the intangible things. You're like, oh, never mind. All of this makes perfect sense. You're doing all the minutia. You're doing it really well. And, you know, and then I ran into your whole crew out in town and got accosted. But like, you know, super strong culture and community there on top of fantastic business practices. And I'm like, this is it. This is what we're trying to get people to do. So, you guys crush, you know, and I was just trading emails with Jason this morning. And we could talk about him making the transition as well. So, but I mean, you guys run a killer gym, and it was cool for me to go. I gave up a seminar at my gym for that, Allison.
Yeah, I remember that. Hey, so Fern, on that note, what are 1, 2, 3 things you notice when you walk in to a box like Odin, when you're saying, oh, they're doing it all?
When they're doing it well?
Well, no, Fern mentioned like he walked in and he sees it. So I'm curious what he sees, and for the listeners to see, because like you said, it's not just like checking the boxes. There's so many intangibles. But what
there's
are
like
some
little like little things like you in the bathrooms, you guys have the little I don't know what they're called. You know, the little like readers in the bathroom that are like above the stalls, but they're recent, right? They're not from 7 months ago. That was like, oh, that is relevant to like the last 10 days.
Like a newsletter, you know, type thing, you mean?
Like a newsletter thing that's in the bathroom. You know, there's Committed Club stickers like on the front desk. I'm like, those are fresh stickers. Those just got made for this month. They have their little, obviously you have your coaches wall with all the coaches on there. You have the ambassadors, you have the, you had your little your little cubby for your new member packages, which I stole that idea, by the way. Like all of those little nuanced things, I see it, you know, your little, not lounge, that little kitchen area, like very organized, well laid out. And then the space is very well organized, right? Like
it's funny though, because the first thing you said, the bathrooms, like some of the things Glassman said 20 years ago are so true, right? Like, show me your bathroom. Right?
Yeah, and if it looks like a truck stop bathroom, I could make some assumptions, right?
If I walk into a CrossFit bathroom, I mean, we're talking like A++, squatty potty, hello tushy, bidet, right? Like that's like, and those, to be fair, like you think though, that's like right there, that's $100. Like
maybe.
Right. But then I'm saying like you said, when I'm standing at the toilet, is there a newsletter that I can look at? Is there, you know, whether it's a co-ed bathroom or not, like hair ties for the ladies or men, like tampons, whatever, like little things like that are so silly, like and cheap to do that people just don't do.
Yeah, just attention to detail is really what it was. I was like, oh, I was like, oh, they're doing it. And because there's always like, there's doing it and then there's doing it well. And when you can tell not only somebody's doing it well, but there's like little nuanced things that you can pick up when somebody's doing it consistently well, you're like, oh, this isn't on a one-time deal. Like that's a rolling thing that you guys are executing on. So,
yeah. And I think that it comes down to having a detail oriented mindset just in general. Like it's not a, we clean the bathrooms. It's the bathrooms will be spotless. Like it's the mindset of not checking the box. How do we do whatever task we're doing to the nth degree and further than the expectations of someone coming in? Like when we give tours to new people, we walk them through the bathroom and we show them the shower. Because the shower make, is nicer.
Take a shower with like next level. You take a shower with them.
Absolutely.
You're 100%. Like, take your bath
every time.
Get naked. Here we go. You want to be a member? Yeah.
I literally wash your back. Yes. 100%.
Just for the first week. Just for the first week.
That's right. I teach you how. It's fine. Yeah.
You know, not to go off topic any further than we just did, but there's like Roz and I were talking last night, like. We have some mutual, not we have people that do stuff around the house and like, whether it's the au pair, whether it's help the people that help. And it's like this idea of just doing your best is not existent to most people.
No.
Like I don't understand why any task you do in life, especially if you own the business, like you just don't want to do your best.
Yeah, I think it's like having that internal drive. And that's what I struggled with other jobs, we'll say, is that I felt like I was caged and couldn't do the job that I was wanting to do to the level I wanted to do it. Because the other people around me, that wasn't the expectation. And that if I went further, a lot of times it was, well, why are you even doing that? I'm like, well, I'm doing it because that's how it should be done. I think that just looking at every little thing with that detail eye, down to the like even how we write on our blackboards, like if it's not right, I will take a picture of it, send it to the coach and say, this needs to be done again. Like this is not how we write on the board, right? So, and not to be rude, but it's to hold that standard to remind them that like when members come in, if they can't read the board, what are we doing? Right.
And
the board
that might've sounded rough, but I can attest to this. Like I've seen you interact with your staff. I'm like that feedback gets taken and implemented. I guarantee it.
Absolutely. And I think that just comes with over the years, how we have onboarded our staff and laid out clear expectations. And it's not being rude, it's being clear as to how and when it needs to be done. And when it's not done to that standard, it's addressed. And it's addressed in a timely manner so that it makes sense. Right. And so I think that sometimes a lot of people have this fear of holding people to it. Because they don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, you know, what's really going to hurt my members' feelings and the people that we're serving is if they walk into the gym, they can't read the board.
Yeah. Right? Like, sucking also hurts people's feelings. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Yeah. When you guys reached out, mm-hmm. I'm sure we had this conversation, but to be honest with you, this is a long time ago, so I don't even think I remember. What was it that you were seeking out? Right. And I say that because, like, I looked at the numbers and I was like, this is a good gym. Like, talking to you guys for 5 minutes, I was like, it's a good gym. These people are squared away. Mm-hmm. What was it that you guys were looking for?
Yeah, I think at that point, I personally was struggling a little bit with finding some clarity in some things that I was wanting to do. And I wanted to seek out people that were doing it better. Like, as an affiliate owner, we live on an island. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I didn't think we were doing that great of a job.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Jay, this is one of those scenarios where, like, I mean, I feel like we're doing okay. I'm like, you're fucking killing it. Like, we're doing a good job. They're like people that are doing a good job that, but they don't know they're doing a good job. You know?
Well, affiliate owners are often on an island, right? I'll get on calls and I'll be like, you're the 1%.
And you don't know that until you're exposed to other gyms. I mean, I'm exposed to other gyms when I drop in, but I'm not having a conversation with the owner about, you know, like, yeah, that's different. I experience the experience you're providing and I can make some assumptions on some things. But other than that, like, I knew that we were doing well in terms of our members and the interactions we have with them, but I didn't know. We didn't truly know where we stood, what other gyms looked like, what was common. I had no idea. All I knew was, I remember having a conversation with Jason, and I'd been listening to the podcast for a long time and, you know, following it. And I remember going to Jason and I'm like, we were at a point where we needed to bring on a full-time person. We needed to bring on a GM. I was still the one fully 100% in the business, running it and doing everything outside of our coaches coaching. Right. And I just couldn't extend myself anymore. And so it was like, it's time. I've got to do something. And I wasn't quite sure where to start with all of it. And so I was like, look, I want to talk to these guys. And we actually had a call with Joel. And we had a really good conversation about the fact that, like, look, I need a roadmap to help me navigate this big change that is going to happen for us. And I remember, like, talking about, like, I don't need you to hold my hand. I don't need all of that. I just need some guidance so that I can
go that way,
run in the direction I'm trying to run in. Right. And then once we were in the program, like, I would kind of look around a little bit and I'm like, I mean, I guess we're doing all right. I don't know. So, like, there was a lot of learning for me for sure. Like, eye opening, when we first started the program, because if you asked me then, I would say that I felt like I wasn't doing a good job. And it was because I felt like I wasn't doing it to the ability that my staff deserved, that our members deserved. Like, I was feeling like I was doing everything okay, but nothing like exceptional. And I didn't like that feeling.
Yeah.
So
I mean, for me, when I think about your journeys, I mean, cause like there's been a lot of transitions, right? Like, you were there doing all the things and it was GM. Jason quit his job. He's there, like, and the GM, you know, it was, there's like a couple different versions of people need help. And yours is, I don't know, arguably can be sometimes the most challenging, but it's a clarity thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, what do you want? And like, I want to do this. And it's just like, and then what you outlined is what everybody is, the challenge that everybody has, which is like, how do I go from A to B? Mm-hmm. Like, and then sometimes you just need somebody to just tee that up for you. Be like, do these things. Most of it will make sense. Some of it might not. Don't worry about it. Just keep doing it. We'll make sure that we are measuring it and doing all these other things. And, you know, and still to this point, as you guys continue on this upward trajectory, like still ask, like he was, Jason was asking me for stuff today. He's like, what did you guys do for that bundle for the retail? He's like, I want to see it. And I was just like, I want to see what you're doing, dude. Like, show me that shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just like a lot of questions. You guys always come to the table with lots of questions, which is like a really good indicator in my mind.
Yeah. If you're not always asking questions, then that's always a red flag to me. Like sitting and being content in one spot is not something that myself or Jason does well. I mean, you can look further into that if you really want to, but you know, I think that it has helped us along the way for sure. As soon as we do something, we immediately are like, is it working?
Allison Jahowski here, owner of Odin CrossFit L4 affiliate. I joined the team at Best Hour as a business development coach for Affiliate University because I want to be a part of changing the landscape of what it means to be an affiliate owner and to level up the CrossFit experience. And that's exactly what Affiliate University is doing for owners all over the world. Just like the members of our gym, we all benefit from coaching, learning from others, and surrounding ourselves with a community of people who want to grow. If you're an affiliate owner, now is the time for you to check out Affiliate U and all that Best Hour has to offer. Join us to level up and become the absolute best affiliate owner for yourself, your staff, and your members.
When did you guys buy the gym?
Yeah, so the original owners, they opened up, it was like, oh my gosh, October of 13.
Okay.
I came on as a coach that November-ish. And then 2014, I was head coach. So at that point, I was like programming and managing the coach. I was doing all of these things while I still had I owned my own business. So like it was kind of still happening at the same time. And then it grew to the point where it needed to be run as a business and no longer a garage gym. Mm-hmm. And that was the point where they kind of came to us and said, would you be interested? They decided they wanted to get out. And it's funny, and Jason will attest to this, my initial reaction was no. I said no, I said multiple times, and Jason was the one that he was like, you need to simmer, and let's actually have a conversation about this. And so it was right around the time too, like it's interesting how everything happens. So I owned my own business, and at the time I had an employee, she was an art teacher as well. I had an employee who was interested in buying it, and we had a one-year-old at the time. So all of these things are kind of happening. And so I ended up selling my business to my employee, thinking that like, okay, I'm gonna be head coach. I'm gonna do this while our son's young. You know, I didn't think much else past that. And then when it came to us of, do you want to buy the gym? My initial reaction was no, because I was like, I know what this is going to take. And I don't know if I want to do that with a one-year-old. And like, there was all of these thoughts, you know, like I've been here and the business is still really small. And I knew what was in front of us. Yeah.
I appreciate your honesty in that. I don't think most people are honest enough about that.
Like, yeah.
About you're like, fuck, that's going to be hard, man.
Yeah. Well, maybe they're not honest, but also a little delusional.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think a lot of people are just not honest, meaning like people are like, oh, you can, it's just, I don't like people who.
You don't like a lot of people, but be specific.
That's where I'm going with this. Like, I don't like people who are not painting an accurate picture of the way ahead. Mm-hmm. Like that really, really annoys me. Cause I'm like, particularly if you've kind of been down that path in any way, shape or form. And I'm like, you're not telling the truth, dude. Like that's not how that works. And I know people that have done it infinitely better than I have who are like, yo, that shit's hard, you know? And they're like, oh, it's easy. If you just do a couple things, everything will fall in place. And I'm like, bullshit, dude.
No.
Like business is hard. Right. Particularly service business, you know, so I appreciate your honesty in that because mm-hmm. I think many box owners would be very well served with just a little bit of honesty with that, because I think one of the biggest disconnects I think affiliate owners have is expectation of what owning an affiliate is going to be like versus what it's actually like.
Oh yeah. I think
that's
that
that's a lot of things, but yes.
Yeah. And we always want to look at the parts that we want to see. Right. But we're not looking at the parts of, I'm thinking to myself, we have a 1 year old and Jason has a job that is kind of in a traditional sense. He has set hours and when he needs to be at work. And, you know, so all of these things are going through my mind of like, okay, that means I'm going to be coaching early morning classes. I have a 1 year old who's not sleeping. Then I have to be, I'm still the one who is going to be responsible for X, Y, and Z because I will be able to make my schedule flexible. But in doing so, that means I have long days, long hours, right? So like, yes, I own my own business and get to make my schedule, but that means that my schedule sometimes is a 16-hour day in the beginning. You know, like I knew what was coming and I had to like take a moment to be like, okay, if we're going to do this, I have to put my head down and I have to, for the next X amount of time, like just do the work. And I have to be okay with the extreme exhaustion and the schedule and all of the things that come with it. I had to get my mind right that like, this is just what it's going to be. And it was 100% was.
It's funny you bring that up because I was just reading, do you know who Chris Williamson is? He owns the Modern Wisdom podcast. Yeah. He posted a thing and it was like, what it's like the 10 reasons why working for yourself absolutely sucks. And I was reading and I was like, all of those are accurate. So yeah. I'll read them. It's like, number one, you're only ever accountable to yourself, which is like a crazy pitfall, by the way. Number two, never knowing when you're finished because you're not.
Yeah.
Where's number three? Oh, number three, attaching your sense of self-worth to the success of the business.
I literally do all three of those right now.
Yeah. Number four, permanently having to create your own motivation, which is really hard for a lot of people. Number five, holidays and downtime barely existing. Number six, never being certain if you're working on the next what you're working on next is the right thing. Number seven, paperwork. Number, which I was doing an egregious amount of this morning on short notice. I was furious. Number eight, no assurances about income. That one I think I'm used to at this point.
That's probably, they're all equally challenging, but I always joke with our clients, like, we're going to be homeless this week.
Number nine, it becomes much harder to get a mortgage, which is weird, but that's correct. Yeah. Nobody tells you that one. Nobody tells you that one. And number 10, always feeling like your work could have been better.
Always. Yeah. So. That would be like number one for me. I feel like for sure.
Yeah. And I'd say there's like some sort of tie into this where it's like the same could be said of having a shitty boss. Right. And that's what he's essentially saying, right? Like you have a shitty boss because it's you. Right. But it's, and all of those things are exactly why the right people succeed. Cause they look at those things and they're like, I'm either improving at these or I'm, you know, holding myself accountable, like, or to be, you know, fair, like they get good partners in there. Like there are times like holding, the paperwork you were doing this morning was for me, right?
Right.
Yeah. And it's like, cool. Like I need this. So you're doing it. So yeah, it's all good.
Yeah. I think that there, you have to also be okay with being by yourself a lot. And for some people that works really well for their personalities and for others, it doesn't. Like if you're a true companion animal and you need to be working with people all the time with everything that you do, then it's going to be really hard because at least for an extended period of time throughout your ownership until you get to like a certain point, it's you, right? And so you spend a lot of your days alone doing work and you have to be motivated to do that work. You have to be willing to be, dare I say, like in silence with yourself. And that's really hard for a lot of people. Luckily, I enjoy that. I enjoy working I don't want to say working alone. That's not the right way to kind of project that. But yeah, I enjoy that time. I enjoy being with people 100%. I'm in the people business, but
you're an introvert. Our team is split right down the middle of introverts and extroverts.
I'm happy to be the one behind the scenes doing the work alone so that others can do the work with other people, if that makes any sense. Yeah.
Jason, no, it makes perfect sense. Jason likes to be the person behind the scenes not doing the work so that other people can be forward doing the work.
No, you know how you have your meme friends, like what? I got a jujitsu meme friend. I got a dog meme friend, right? We've got the inappropriate meme friends. I send Katie like the work ones, and I always send it to her every time I see it, where it's like, for someone who has a job with people, I don't like people, you know, like one of those. But I haven't sent this one to you, but there's a recent Huberman podcast with Cal Newport on it, all about like, he's the deep work guy.
Oh, deep work guy, yeah.
Oh, it was so good. Like on this like note here of just like how to not just hold yourself accountable, but really do the deep work, if you will. So
he just got a flamethrowed on the internet. Huberman did.
I saw that. Yeah. but I think anyone, if you're having success, is going to get a couple flames thrown your way.
Sure.
We'll see.
So you started working with us, Alice. And I think something of importance is, you know, Fern came up with a point system, if you will. It's not really a point system, but a level system for our, you know, internal for our clients, level 1 to 4, you know, similar to the CrossFit credential. And there's very specific ways that you level up from 1, 2 to 3 and 4. And at our, it was at the first mastermind, right? In Denver. Yeah. That was a huge milestone, not just for hopefully for you, I shouldn't say it was for you, but for us, for sure, to help someone achieve that. And I know
it was afterwards. I remember this specifically because I do remember when we broke from Denver, I think both of you came up and were like, we're going to get 4.
Oh,
okay.
They were like adamant about it. They're like, that's happening. And I was just like,
done. Yeah.
I was like, I believe you.
Yeah. I think that there's the other side of things. Like I'm also extremely competitive and I will win. And that is, that's something that I feel like is just in every aspect of my life. I've always felt that way. I've always been extremely competitive. I was a competitive gymnast. Like working hard to win something is deep ingrained. So as soon as that popped up, I mean, I looked right at Jason and I was like, done. Like noted. Right.
But that and is I don't, why I don't Fern really, did it.
Yeah, correct. Absolutely. Like we're CrossFitters in general. We tend to be competitive people. So why not create this standard and create this level system to help people to have a path? I mean, we're going to do it. If the leaderboard is there, then we'll compete for it for sure.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It was fun because I made it. When we made it, like we went through a couple iterations of that scoring system. I was like, nope, it's not hard enough. Too many people would get it. And people were like, why do you make it so hard? I'm like, it's a disservice to people if we don't make it something that is worth having. Like if you're going to wear that credential, just like a level, my comparison was the level 4 trainer credential, which is like, yo, they're not giving that shit away. Mm-mm. Like you got to be really good to get one of those. And I wanted this to be the same. Like I, you know, I don't know if we talked about here, but like for me, like anybody who is going to fly that flag, like I have no problem showing them off to the affiliate community at large. Be like, yo, this is good. It's real good.
Well, yeah. And to that point, a few months later, Allison became our very first hire for business development coaching.
Second to Joel, but when we decided to do that, so if anybody's doing know, like, how do we think about people on the team, right? Because we're never going to have this huge team. That's not in our cards for best hour, at least not currently. But we look at the team very much through the same lens that we look at the team, that we look at the building the team and seminar staff, which is like it must be rigorous. Like there must be a proper vetting process, because the worst thing you can do is bring somebody on who can't walk the walk and walk the talk, and with, you know, who's going to get, you know, run circles around them by, you know, like Jay, you've seen it when like somebody comes in and they think they might be ready for seminar staff and they get like a pretty basic question from a participant, and the participant like runs circles around them.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's that times 1,000 when doing this type of coaching, because the stakes are higher, right? The problems are more complex, you know, nuance is a thing. And you have to be dealing with somebody who legitimately knows what they're talking about. Like, not like because they heard somebody else say it and they read it in a book or some shit. They're like, oh no. I've done 4 versions of that. Mm-hmm. And this is how that shit works. And I'm gonna walk you through the whole steps, like the why, the how, the when, the who, all of those things. That's really important. You know, that's why we have the coaching staff that we have, because all those people are pipe hitters. Joel, you know, Allison, Steve, you know, like I'm not interested in having a big state, like hundreds and hundreds of those people. Like I need like 10, I need 10 killers who are just like, can just run the world. Like that's what we envision. And so it was a no brainer. Like obviously you did that, Allison. And then we chatted and you checked all the boxes for us as far as, hey, organized, go getter, you know, and, you know, we're rebuilding the whole course. And Allison, because she has curriculum development in her background, is like making my life significantly easier as we go redesign all of that.
Yeah. So. And came up with a few amazing additions to the, not even to the curriculum, but just as value adds to our clients, from ambassadors to committed club, you know, things that we have been teaching to do at the affiliate level. Now we're also doing internally.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And like Allison said earlier, the work she doesn't mind just sitting back doing in the dark.
Allison, what do you enjoy most about coaching box owners specifically?
Ooh, I think that my favorite part is being able to help them to navigate their mind through the hurdle that they're having, that usually they're having problems because their mind is getting in the way of something, right? It's they're choosing to be closed-minded about something. They're not willing to think creatively. Their mind is just kind of like shut down. And I think that if we can get them to be creative thinkers, I think that that is huge for them, because this is just like with our athletes, right? If I just tell you what to do, I'm going to constantly be telling you what to do every time you come to class. I need you to become an educated athlete. So I need to teach you how to be creative and use your mind to navigate the situation that you're in, right? And so it's the same thing with affiliate owners, right? Like, okay, sure. You say that you're having a staff issue. Well, right now we're saying that it's an external issue, but really what the issue most likely is that there's some sort of, most likely a communication issue coming from your side, and it is your mind that is stuck on the fact that someone else is the problem. And it's like, well, if someone else is the problem, then you can't control that. You can't change it. So what are you doing that could change that situation? How can we think outside of the box here and not put the control in someone else? Like, we're going to take control of the situation and we're going to make the change. And I think that that mindset piece to it, getting them to have the confidence to be able to think outside of just what's in front of them. I mean, that's what's going to help them to navigate whatever they run into, rather than just telling them what to do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can tell anyone what to do and they'll just follow it, but they'll always follow you. I don't want them to follow me.
Well, it's also not
go do their own thing.
It's also not helping them. And this was part of our resistance to do what we do certain ways when we started Affiliate University, which is like, I'm not interested in just spoon feeding people answers. Because long term, that's all they're left with. They're only left with what I told them to do, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually, I'm not going to be there to tell them that, or somebody's not going to be there to tell them. It's not just me. They need to understand how to problem solve, like to think critically, to be like, hey, why did this happen? What did I not see? Is there something else I should be thinking about? You know, how could I have done that differently in order to get to the desired outcome, rather than be like, follow the checklist. Like, don't get me wrong, checklists are a thing, but what happens when your checklist breaks? Because it will. You need to be able to do some actual problem solving in that scenario in order to solve the next iteration of the problem. I was talking to one of our affiliate owners today. She's doing great. Like, she's crushing. And she was like, something you say all the time. She's like, you know, you build it, you break it, you build it, you break it. And she's like, so I've been doing that, like you told me to do. But she's like, but now I'm starting to see the break before it happens. And I'm like, perfect. I'm like, that's the goal, is to preempt the break, like put it right up to the threshold and then don't let it break, fix it before it actually breaks this time. But you can't do that if all you do is run off a checklist.
You, at that point, you're just looking at what's in front of you and you're never looking past it. Right. And like, we always have to be one step ahead. And there's this feeling though, that like, if it's broken, then all of a sudden they take it personally too. Like, there's a lot of emotion that goes into it. And so like that side of things of like, yes, you are the one who's responsible for it. Sure. But that doesn't mean that you are worth less. That doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. Like, it's just your job to now reflect and make it better. And so for some reason, for a lot of people, it's an extremely emotional, it's an emotional roller coaster being an affiliate owner. And I think the sooner you can just truly look at certain parts of the business as it's business, it's work, and not take it personally, then, I mean, you can skyrocket. If someone cancels, you know, you waste so much time if you take that personally, rather than if you say, okay, why are they canceling? And what can I do to either, like, is this a true, like, do they actually need to cancel? Can I have a conversation with them? Or like, why is this cancellation happening? And how can I change that for the future? Rather than sitting there going, oh my gosh, they're leaving. And have this like emotional reaction over it. I think that it just gets in the way.
Rule number two, don't take it personally.
Don't take it personally.
Well, I think that's solid advice, Allison. And that's why we are pumped, happy, excited for you to be on the team.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. If you asked me, you know, 2 years ago, if this is where I would be standing, I would have laughed. Because you don't know what you don't know. And coming into this program, I didn't know what we were doing well, and being able and what we weren't. There were things that I definitely needed to improve on, which is awesome. But coming into the program and having a roadmap and certain things to really like push to hit milestones, I mean, it's just skyrocketed us for sure. I mean, we were moving in the right direction, but it helped to really validate the drive that we were really having and gave us a direction for where we wanted to go. So, it's been awesome.
Well, if you guys are ever in the Frederick, Maryland area, you should go by their box. It's amazing, right? They have those Vikings all over their gym, obviously.
Get your back washed by Allison.
Get your back washed. Get some coffee. No, but it's a cool facility. You guys should go there and go there and take notes. Go there and take notes. Go there, talk to Jason Allison and their team. You're definitely going to learn something. But, you know, you're doing what you should be doing, which is pushing forward, you know, setting the example for affiliates all over. And the more people that do that, the better off we're all going to be. So excited to have you on the team. Fucking love hearing updates from you guys on how the gym's going. And 2024 is going to be a good year for a lot of reasons. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Best Hour of Their Day podcast.
We appreciate you listening and choosing to have us help you in your passion for coaching and affiliate ownership. You can find more episodes just like this on all podcast platforms. If you're interested in learning more, you can reach out to us on any social media platforms, or you can visit www.besthouroftheirday.com to book a call. If you found this episode helpful for you, please share it so that we can help other coaches and affiliate owners to help build a bigger and stronger CrossFit community. Thanks for listening.